بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن والاه وبعد. This evening, بإذن الله تعالى, this is our sixth session reading from that which is entitled كان خلقه القرآن. His character was the Quran, by Sheikh Abdul Razak, the son of Sheikh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad Al-Badr, Hafidhahumullah, may Allah protect and preserve both of them. Before we go into the topic that we're going to discuss this evening, that is the hadith that the Sheikh mentions at the end of this topic, and there are 14 hadith, and perhaps it might make sense to number them, so as we go through them we can keep track of where we at. And last week we read the first hadith of those 14, and tonight, inshallah, we're going to read the second and maybe third hadith. So it may be helpful to number those hadith so you can easily find the place where we are. Before we look at the hadith that we want to discuss tonight, I want to first go back and review some of the issues that we took last week from questionnaire study guide number 5. The first question being, mention the name and tribe of the man from Al-Yamama who went from hate to love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam after meeting him. The name and tribe of the man from Al-Yamama. Nobody in the back? Tayyib Abdul Haq.
Thumama ibn Uthal.
Okay, Thumama ibn Uthal, and he was from tribe of anybody? Now. Bani Hanifa, the tribe of Bani Hanifa. Naam. The second question, summarize the story of this man from Al-Yamama and his becoming acquainted with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and its end, the end of that story. Naam. Summarize. Naam, Abdul Haq.
Okay, so the Prophet sallallahu
alaihi wasallam sent a group to Ghazwa. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent out a group of his followers, towards Najd, now.
Yeah, and they captured Thumama.
And they came back with this man, Thumama ibn Uthal, radiallahu
anhu. Made him tied in the masjid.
They tied him up in the masjid.
And he asked him, "Ma indaka Thumama?"
And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came out to him and asked him, "Ma indaka ya Thumama? What is with you? What do you expect? Is going to happen with you now?"
And he said, "In the fire room."
Indi khayrun, ya Muhammad.
Ya Muhammad, indi khayrun.
Naam.
In taqtulni, taqtul adam.
Naam. He said, indi khayr, I expect khayr. I don't expect anything except khayr from you. And then he said three things. One, if you kill me, you will kill somebody who has killed others. And if you are generous and kind to me, you will be kind to a person who will be grateful, who will appreciate your kindness. Now, and if you want wealth, then ask whatever you want from it. You will be given it. Now,
The next time the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam
came to him the following day, asked him the same question.
But the second one, he didn't say.
He didn't say anything about killing, but he said, "If you are kind to me, you'll be kind to one who is generous." And then, third day he came again, asking him, "What's with you?" He said,
"So the
Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them to let him go, release him, free him." And then he did what?
So he went to a river, took a bath.
Yeah, he went to a near palm tree or a place where there was some water, and he bathed himself and
he came back,
returned to the masjid, and أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله محمدا عبده ورسوله. نعم. Then he took shahada, he entered into Islam to the end of the story. نعم. This was the end of his occasion with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, or at least the climax of the incident. Question number 3, mention two ways in which acquaintance with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم seerah affects people from the perspective of iman. Two ways that a person being acquainted with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life and his seerah will affect a person in terms of their iman. Musa.
If it's someone that doesn't have no iman.
The person who doesn't have iman, who hasn't entered in Islam,
Knowing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is going to cause that person to enter Islam.
Then knowing the Prophet ﷺ and his character and his manners and his ways, yani will be an invitation that will call that person, attract them to Iman. Naam. And as far as the second way, Naam, Umar?
And a person calls Iman was weak or low by saying and interacting with the Prophet.
The person who has iman already, but his iman may be yani not where it should be, then coming in contact with the Prophet ﷺ and seeing in yani the way of the Prophet ﷺ will be a means of increase of iman. Yani the person who is not a believer, it will be an invitation to iman, and the person who already believed, it will be a means of increase of his iman. And this is very, very important that we keep this in mind and that we apply it to ourselves, that if our character is anywhere like similar to yani something of the character of the Prophet ﷺ, then our interaction with people will be a means to call people to Islam if they are not Muslims, or to increase the iman of those who already believe. Question number 4. Memorize an ayat, yani 23rd surah 69th ayat, which alludes to this point. Naam. Ibrahim. I'm sorry, two Ibrahim. Both of them raised their hand at the same time. I was looking in the back though, pardon me. No. Naam. Yani, who can translate this for us? Who can translate this for us? Yeah, Musa. Naam.
Don't they know their prophet? Therefore, because they don't know him, therefore they are denying him.
Naam. Yani, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks a question. Am lam ya'rifu rasulahum? Yani, is it that they didn't know their messenger? They didn't know his characteristics, his manners, his way, yani his speech. They didn't know him. And therefore, as a result of them not knowing him, that's why they rejected him. Because had they known him, then that should be an invitation for them to accept the message that he came with. Yani, so the knowing, being acquainted with the Prophet ﷺ is the greatest invitation to iman in reference to the one who hasn't believed. And it is a means of increase of iman for the one who already believed. Question number 5, explain why acquaintance with the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has this effect. Why is it that a person being acquainted with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would have this effect? Naam, Ibrahim, naam, in the front, Ibrahim, naam, naam, mashallah, jazakallah khair.
Because yani, the person who gets to look into the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that's going to increase that person's love for the Messenger.
And if the person who knows about his seerah, about his life, this will cause that person to have an increase in love for him. Naam. And also,
knowing his status.
And they will also help them to recognize his status, his position, yani who he really is, his worth and his value. If they know about his life, this will cause them to love him, and it will cause them to recognize his worth and his value, his station, his status. Naam. And then the Shaykh said, if that happened, that a person was increased in their love and recognition of the status of the Prophet ﷺ, this will cause them to
magnify that person
in the
adherence of the Prophet.
Now, this will cause an increase or magnification of that person's adherence, sticking to, yani, following of the Prophet ﷺ and adhering to his manhaj, his way. Naam. And this, yani, following the Prophet ﷺ and what he did and what he said and what he believed, and sticking to his manhaj, the way of worshiping Allah, this is the what greater cause is there of increase in iman than that a person love the Prophet, recognize him, follow his way according to his manhaj. What greater means of increase of iman? Naam. Also, summarize the incident. Question number 6. Summarize the incident during salah described in the hadith of Muawiyah ibn al-Hakam As-Sulami radiallahu anhu and Sahih Muslim. Yani the incident that took place in the Salah. Naam, Abdul Haq.
So he was a new convert, Muawiyah ibn al-Hakam. He was a new convert. So
he was a new convert, yani recently accepted Islam.
So he went to pray behind the Prophet Muhammad.
He was praying with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Somebody sneezed.
And somebody amongst the people sneezed.
So he said, Ya Rahmukallah.
Said, Ya Rahmukallah. Now in prayer, in Salah, while they're praying, he said, Ya Rahmukallah.
So the Sahaba, he said that Faromani told
me the Abyssal again. They yani stared at him with their eyes. Romani yani mean like they were shooting at him. Like they wanted to do something to him. Like they were disturbed by him talking in the prayer. Naam.
So he said,
May my mother be bereaved of me.
So
what's with you people? Why are you looking at me like this? Now all this is in the prayer. He's talking. He's doing all this talking in the prayer. At that point,
so at that point the people start.
They said, okay, enough. They start slapping on their thighs to tell him, be quiet. Be quiet. That's
so he
enough.
Understood and he kept quiet.
He didn't like it, but he understood they were telling him to be quiet, so he remained quiet. This is yani what happened in the salat. And then the following question relates the rest of the story. Yani, that is, discuss the statement of Muawiyah ibn al-Hakam radiallahu anhu, which is the reason for the mention of this hadith here. Why did the shaykh mention this hadith? Yani, what did Muawiyah ibn al-Hakam radiallahu anhu say at that point after this incident that was just narrated? What did he say after that, Umar?
And then right after the prayer, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam walked up to this man and advised him that this prayer is not the prayer.
Naam, the Prophet came to him and advised him, but what did he, Muawiyah, say? What did he say? Which, yani, in this hadith, what's mentioned in this hadith, why we are even talking about this hadith in this occasion? What was it that Muawiyah said? Now,
he said,
we'll come back to you.
Ya Maro, are you too?
No, before that, Sheikh. He said,
before that, you know you have your partner here, right?
May my father and my mother be ransomed.
Naam, may my father and my mother be ransomed for you. And then he said, he said, I didn't see any teacher before him or after him that was better than him in his manner of teaching. Yani, he didn't scold me, he didn't hit me, nor did he speak, yani, he didn't revile me, he didn't speak harsh to me, he didn't do any of that. Yani, this is how yani, Muawiyah ibn Hakim radiallahu anhu is describing that incident, what happened, and how the Prophet ﷺ dealt with him. It caused him to say that, may my father and my mother be ransomed for him. I never saw a teacher before him or after him that was better than him in teaching. He didn't yani, harm me in any way. He didn't scold me. He didn't belittle me. He didn't beat me. He didn't do anything. Rather, he only came to me in a gentle manner to educate me. And this is what is related in the next question. Discuss the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's manner of handling Muawiyah ibn al-Hakam radiallahu anhu, his behavior in the salah. How did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam handle it, Ya Ibrahim? Naam.
And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the same hadith, came to him and said to him, Inna hadhihi salah la yasmuru fiha shay'un min kalam an-nas. Inna ma hiya at-tasbih wa at-takbir.
Naam. The Prophet ﷺ just educated him. He said that verily this salat, yani when we are performing prayer, then it's not permissible, it's not correct, it's not proper that there be any discussion between the people, conversations, kalam and nas, people talking to one another while we are in the salat. That's not proper, that's not befitting, it's not lawful for that. Rather, the salat, what it contains is a tasbih, the declaration of Allah being free from imperfections, a takbir, glorification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and recitation of the Quran. And the last question, yani, which came not related to this story, but it came as a part of the original hadith in yani, Sahih Muslim, discussed an important point of aqidah mentioned at the very end of this hadith involving another incident, but in the same hadith with Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. Naam. What is the important point of aqidah, Ya Ibrahim, in the back? The hadith of the Jariyah. Now, what's the important point of aqidah in this hadith? Naam. Naam. The important point of aqidah in this, in the end of this hadith, is that we believe, the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we believe that Allah is above the heavens. That Allah is above the heavens. This is very important. We don't believe Allah is everywhere. That Allah is in everything. That everything is a part of Allah. We don't believe that. Rather, we believe that Allah is separate and distinct from the creation. He's the Khaliq, creator, and everything else in existence is makhluq, is creation. And Allah is above the heavens. And this was mentioned in the Surah of Muawiyah when he said that he had a slave girl or a young girl who was taking care of his animals for him, and one day he came out and the wolf had taken one of the sheep. So he became angry like any other human being and he slapped her, and then he felt something about it, so he came to the Prophet ﷺ and told him what happened. He said, what should he do? The Prophet said, bring her to me. And when he brought her, the Prophet ﷺ questioned her to see who she was, what was she. He said, where is Allah? She said, fi sama. She didn't point, by the way. She said, fi sama. And then, the Prophet ﷺ said, yani that was correct. He said, who am I? She said, you are the Messenger of Allah. And then the Prophet said, what? A'tiqha. فَإِنَّهَا مُؤْمِنَةً. Free her, because indeed she is a believer. And this is a very important hadith, and it wasn't our topic of discussion, but it was a benefit. And in case anybody imagines that there's no benefit, and in these gatherings, then indeed there's benefit. That is a tremendous benefit. We find that there are people who are supposed to be learned people. And just the other day, I received an email from one of the sisters who was studied with us years ago when I was in Qatar. She's one of the teachers giving da'wah, and mashallah, one of the good teachers. And she's saying that, she's asking me about a book, Kitab al-Tawheed translation in the Filipino language, that some people are using, people of deviation, and they are using it as a means to attack Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, claiming that he made some erroneous statements and bad things. And subhanallah, yani from amongst the things of these people that they claim, and these are people that are supposed to be learned, is that, yani, how can he say Allah is not everywhere? Not in everything. These people are yani ignorant, even though some of them graduated from Azhar University or wherever, but it didn't do them any benefit. People of ignorance, although they're supposed to be people of knowledge. And here was a slave girl who wasn't educated, she didn't go to any university, she knew that Allah is above the heavens, and she knew that He is the Messenger of Allah, and these people don't seem to know anything. In any case, tonight inshallah we like to begin with the second hadith and perhaps the third hadith, as the Shaykh goes on to mention a number of hadith that yani are related to our subject of yani the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his character being the Quran. Before we read from the hadith tonight, I want to yani mention first a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that I feel is important as we go into these hadith that we're going to be reviewing in the next few sessions. I want us to remember the importance of the subject. And why is this subject so important? Character. Keeping in mind that we said that there are two types of character, right? There's character, yani the akhlaq that we have, the khuluq ma'allah, husnu khuluq ma'allah, and then there's the good character that we have with the ibadullah. So both of these together, yani are important. Both of them are inseparable. Both of them are inseparable. Though there's no doubt that the greater husnul khuluq is our husnul khuluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because it is husnul khuluq with Allah, yani our prayers and our fasting and our charity and our hajj and worshiping Allah, that leads to good character with the people. That's what leads to good character with the people. But both of them are important. I want to mention to us a hadith that is reported on the authority of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he said, أَكْمَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِمَانًا أَحْسَنُهُمْ خُلُقًا. يعني أكمل المؤمنين إيمانا, the most complete and perfect of the believers in terms of إيمان, the most complete and perfect of the believers in terms of إيمان, is أحسنهم خلقا, يعني those who are best in character. And of course this character, certainly it means character, our character with Allah, and it also means our character with the people. And sometimes we might yani admit that character with Allah is important, but some of us act like we don't know anything about the importance of character with the people. Okay, what is significant in this hadith, yani the point that I want to make here tonight about it, is that it shows the importance of good character. Because the most complete and perfect of the believers in terms of iman are those who have best character. Now, I just want to give you another benefit, in case anybody imagines there's no benefit. Yani this hadith was narrated by a number of scholars, from amongst them Al-Imam Abu Dawud As-Sijistani. Al-Imam Abu Dawud As-Sijistani. And he is the Imam Abu Dawud that most of the time, when we say Abu Dawud, we're talking about him. Although there's another great scholar, Al-Imam Abu Dawud. Does anybody know?
Abu Bakr.
Naam.
Ibn Abi Dawud.
Naam. There's another scholar also that has a collected hadith. But the Shaykh that we're talking about tonight, the Imam that we're talking about tonight, is Imam Abu Dawud As-Sijistani, rahimahullah. And he narrated in his book, Sunan of Abu Dawud, Sunan Abi Dawud, in the Kitab As-Sunnah. Where he narrated that? In Kitab As-Sunnah. Yani in his book, Sunan Abu Dawud, in the chapter of Sunnah. The bab that he entitled this hadith, the most perfect that a believer is an iman, is best of them in character, he entitled it the bab al-dalil ala ziyadat al-iman wa nuqsanihi. Al-dalil ala ziyadat al-iman wa nuqsanihi. This hadith he brought, he made the chapter heading that this hadith indicates this point. Yani chapter, the proof, the dalil, that there's increase of iman and that there's decrease of iman. This is from the aqeed of Ahlul Sunnah al-Jama'ah. We don't believe that iman is stationary, stable, it doesn't change. Rather, iman goes up and down. Because iman is included, the conviction in our heart, speech in the tongue, and the actions of the limbs of the body. So it increase and decrease. This is a very important matter in terms of aqeed of Ahlul Sunnah al-Jama'ah. That we believe that iman increases and decreases. How do you understand that from this hadith? Because the Prophet ﷺ said the most perfect of the believers in iman is the best in character. So the better a person's character is, the more complete and perfect is going to be their iman. So that means iman has the ability to increase. And as Shaykh Uthaymeen said, anything that can increase also has the potential to decrease. If a person does good things, then it will increase. And if they do evil things, it will decrease and so on like this. So I wanted to mention this. And by the way, another point from this hadith of Sunan of Abu Dawud, Kitab al-Sunnah, Dalil ala Ziyadat al-Iman wa Nuqsani. And this is the whole topic in itself. Al-Imam Abu Dawud narrates this hadith, he says, Haddathana Ahmad ibn Hanbal. Who did he narrate the hadith from? Who was his sheikh in this hadith? Al-Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, rahimahullah. Qala Haddathana Yahya ibn Sa'id, sheikh of Imam Ahmad. An Mahmud ibn Amr, an Abi Salama, an Abi Huraira, radiyallahu anhu, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Akmal al-mu'mineen imanan ahsanuhum khuluqan. Yani he narrated this hadith, and Imam Abu Dawud narrated the hadith from Imam Ahmad, yani going back to Abu Hurairah. And one other point from this hadith, At-Tirmidhi also narrated the hadith with yani almost the same isnad, but he narrated from his Sheikh Abu Quraib, from Muhammad ibn Ala, from yani Abd ibn Sulaiman, from Muhammad ibn Amr, from Abu Salama, from Abu Hurairah. He said the Prophet said, "Ahmul mu'minina imanan, أحسن المؤمنين إيمانا أحسنهم خلقا." And then he said, the Prophet ﷺ said, وخياركم خياركم لنسائهم خلقا. And the best of you are those of you who are best to your women in terms of your character with them. And I only mention this yani because it goes both ways, right? But the men are the leaders in the Muslim family and in the Muslim society. And the Prophet ﷺ said, and the best of you are those who are best in their character with their women. وَخِيَارُكُمْ خِيَارُكُمْ لِنِسَائِهِمْ خُلُقًا خِيَارُكُمْ خِيَارُكُمْ لِنِسَائِهِمْ. The best of you are those who, are best of you with their women in terms of their character. Brothers, it is incumbent upon you to exhibit, to display good character with Allah and good character with the people, especially your wives. Especially your wives. That's what the Prophet ﷺ said. And he connected that to the most perfect of the believers being the best in character. Yani most perfect of the believers in iman are those who are best in character. Okay, after this, I want to mention one more point here, and that is what I alluded to earlier, and that is that since the good character is of two divisions, it is husnul khuluq ma Allah and husnul khuluq man nas. So I want to remind us that the husnul khuluq with Allah is in the way that we worship Him and are obedient to Him. Yani that we exalt Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His names and His attributes, and that we respect His deen and His sharia and so on to the end of what we mentioned previously. And this actually, the husnul khuluq with Allah leads to husnul khuluq with the people. And an example of that is the ayat in the Quran, and I think I'm going to get a little sidetracked. Wallahu musta'an. Maybe perhaps, I mean, we won't do our questionnaire, all the questions that we mentioned today, because this is so important. I'm not going to like rush through it. I'm going to just take the opportunity to benefit from this. So I also want to connect to this topic the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the 29th surah and the 45th ayat. What surah is this? Ankabut. 45th ayat. The saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أُتْلُ مَا أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ وَعَقِمِ الصَّلَاةِ. إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ مَا تَصْنَعُونَ الصَّاد نعم يعني. Can anybody just briefly tell me, يعني give me a hint, like how does this relate to what I just said? يعني good character with Allah is related to good character with the people, in what way? Huh? نعم. نعم. Indecency and evil. Now, yani worship Allah, in this case salat, yani recite the Quran and worship Allah because and indeed because yani pray because the prayer prevents a person from fahsha and munkar, from evil and indecent behavior and sinful behavior. Because the prayer, worshipping Allah, helps a person in their behavior. Yani in their dealing with their, in the society, in their family, with the people. It prevents a person from sin and disobedience and corruption and immorality in your life, in the society. And concerning this particular ayah, and perhaps yani, we'll benefit from this ayah, even if we don't read the hadith tonight. Yeah, it's the 29th surah. Huh? 45. And ayah 45. 29, 45. Has anybody read the tafsir of this ayah? Any tafsir of this ayah? It's incumbent. This is a critical, tremendous, beneficial ayah. And Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di brings us يعني the core meaning of it that helps a person in their personal life to practice the Quran. That's what we've been talking about in this class, right? يعني I'm not going to rush tonight because I really want us to focus on this point that we started this course with يعني the topic of what? Al-Quran, Hablullah al-Mamdood. That the Quran is the rope of Allah, the extended, outstretched rope of Allah. The Quran. And then we went over to the second part of the topic, كَانَ خُلُقُهُ الْقُرْآنِ يعني the Quran is the rope of Allah that He has extended to the people on the earth to save them, to protect them, to guide them, to help them, to do what's pleasing to Him so they could be successful in this world and the next. And the Prophet ﷺ exemplified that to the utmost, to the highest degree. To the extent that Aisha radiallahu anha, when she was asked about what was his character, she summarized it in this very beautiful expression, كَانَ خُلُقُهُ الْقُرْآنِ. His character was the Quran. And this, the scholars of Islam understood from it, that this means that the character, if it's what all that's in the Quran, it means the character with Allah, worshipping Allah, and also dealing with the people, character with the people. So look at this ayat here. Look at this ayat here. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins the ayat by saying, أُتْلُوا مَا أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ. أُتْلُوا, yani from تَلَى يَتْلُوا. أُتْلُوا, and in general we understand it means to recite, right? But we also know that التلاوة also means, as we discussed earlier, it means اتباع. It also means following. Okay? The general meaning that people associate with it is recitation. But yani Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di rahimahullah explains this clearly. اتلو ما أوحي إليك من الكتاب. Yani recite that which has been revealed to your book. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the Prophet, follow that which has been revealed to you in the book. Follow it. Live it out. The commands, the prohibitions, the guidance, all of it. Live it. And that's what he did. And that's why Aisha radiallahu anha said, كَانَ خُلُقُهُ الْقُرْآنِ. Because he lived it. And that's what is incumbent upon us. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. Indeed, the best example for you is in the Messenger of Allah. That's what we should be following if you have yani if you believe in Allah in the last day and have hope in the last day. Yani following the example of the Prophet. So the Prophet ﷺ, he was commanded by Allah to follow the Quran, the whole of it in his life, and that's what he did. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala follows up by saying, Wa aqimis salat. And part of what he was commanded to follow in the Quran is salat. Wa aqimis salat, and establish the prayer. Inna salat tanha al fahsha'i wal munkar, for indeed salat prevents a person from indecent behavior, the worst of all indecent behavior, and every type of sin that's imaginable. وَلَا ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ, and the remembrance of Allah is the greatest yani goal and objective that we should try to achieve in our following the Qur'an. وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ مَا تَصْنَعُونَ. And Allah knows what you do. وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ مَا تَصْنَعُونَ. And Allah knows what you all do, what we do. And that's a warning to us. Allah knows what we do. Or it could be a good news, right, if we're doing good. And if that Allah knows every good that you do, inshallah Allah rewards it, no matter how small or insignificant it may be. The Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di, he says, and I know that the time is running out, we're going to just read this tafsir today, and we'll come to the hadith next week, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. Because of the benefit of this. This is a benefit. Naam. Shaykh says, يَأْمُرُ تَعَالَى بِتِلَاوَةِ وَحْيِهِ وَتَنْزِيلِهِ. Yani Allah, the Most High, has commanded with the tilawa, yani the tilawa of His revelation and that which He has sent down. وَهُوَ هَذَا الْكِتَابَ الْعَظِيمِ. And that tilawa, that wahi, that tanzil, it is this magnificent book, Al-Quran. وَمَعْنَى تِلَاوَتِهِ اتِّبَاعُهُ. And the meaning here of tilawa is not recitation, rather it is اتِّبَاعُهُ, following that which has been revealed to you in the Quran. Following it how? بِمْتِثَالِ مَا يَأْمُرُ بِهِ. By acting upon that which you have been commanded with. Yani complying with that which you have been commanded with. Yani Allah is telling the Prophet, yani utlu ma u, and also he's telling us utlu, yani ittabi'u, that which has been revealed in the book. He's commanded us. How do we do it? He said bimtithali ma ya'mur bihi, by complying with that which he has commanded, yani Allah has commanded us with. Wajtinabi ma yanha anhu, and avoiding that which he has prohibited us from. Wahtida'i bihudahu, and taking as guidance the guidance that came in the Quran. وَتَصْدِيقُ أَخْبَارِهِ, and believing in the truthfulness of whatever we have been informed of in the Quran. وَتَدَبُّرِ مَعَانِهِ, and reflecting, contemplating over its meanings. The Quran. تَدَبُّر مَعَانِي الْقُرْآنِ وَتِلَاوَةِ أَلْفَاظِهِ, and also the recitation of its words. That's also part of it. That's not the whole of it, that's part of it. فَصَارَ تِلَاوَةُ لَفْذِهِ جُزْعَ الْمَعْنَى وَبَعْدَهُ. So this recitation of the words of the Quran became, with this understanding, just a part of the meaning of أُتْلُوا مَا أُوْهِيَ إِلَيْكَ. It just became a part of the meaning. Reciting its words is only part of the meaning. But the other part of it is that we have to follow that which is in the book. Comply with its commands. Avoid its prohibitions. Take as guidance the guidance that came in the Quran. This is what we have to do if we want to comply with this command. And then we have to believe in whatever yani Allah has informed us of and reflect upon its meanings. The Shaykh says, وَإِذَا كَانَ هَذَا الْمَعْنَى تِلَاوَةِ الْكِتَابِ أُلِمَا أَنَّ إِقَامَةِ الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ دَاخِلَةٌ فِي تِلَاوَةِ الْكِتَابِ. Yani if this is the meaning of تِلَاوَةِ الْكِتَابِ, yani all of these things, complying with the commands and avoiding the prohibitions and following that guidance, and reflecting upon its meanings, if this is the meaning of tilawatul kitab, then it became known to us that the establishment of the deen in its entirety is included in the meaning of tilawatul kitab. Yani tilawatul kitab, it doesn't mean, as the people today imagine, reciting the Quran nice. No, it means the establishment of the deen, the whole of it. Yani a person reciting the Quran good has to have a beard. He has to grow a beard. And he's walking around with no beard and he's reciting Quran. And he thinks that he is doing what Allah has commanded with. His garment is hanging on the ground. He's engaged in all kinds of things that are contrary to the sunnah. In sin and corruption and evil and so on. In lying and stealing and cheating. And then we're just thinking that, mashallah, we're reciting the Quran, beautiful. Rather, the whole of the deen, the establishment of it, is a part of what is meant by tilawatul kitab. فَيَكُونُ قَوْلُهُ. So in that sense, the meaning that came after that, where Allah said, وَأَقِمِ السَّلَاةِ, then the meaning of establish the salat after, yani أُتْلُوا مَا أُوْهِيَ إِلَيْكَ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ, if that means the establishment of the whole of the deen, then when Allah says an established salat, that means this is joining something that is particular to that which is general. Because the establishment of the salat is part of the general meaning of establishing the whole of the deen of Allah. And the salat has been mentioned here. He said, لِفَضْلِ السَّلَاةِ وَالشَّرَفِهِ وَآثَارِهَا الْجَمِيلَةِ وَهِيَ إِنَّ السَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَلَى الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. And this is due to the excellence of salat, and the noble position of salat, and the beautiful effects that the salat has on a purpose, on a person, and that is contained in the meaning that indeed the salat prevents the person from indecent behaviors, lewd behaviors, and evil, sinful behaviors. And then the Shaykh mentions that al-fahsha, it means those grave, lewd behaviors of the sins that the soul's desire, the nafs, has a desire for. And the munkar is every type of disobedience that is rejected by the intellect as well as the natural disposition of the human being. And then the Shaykh says, and this is what I wanted to come to today, which is of utmost importance, of this salat and the worship of Allah in general, and the salat in particular, and as well as the siyam and the fasting and the hajj, all of these, every act of worship, especially the pillar of Islam, help a person in their behavior with the people, their husnul khuluq man nas. The Shaykh says, and the way in which this salat is a means to prevent a person from indecencies and evil is أَنَّ الْعَبْدَ الْمُقِيمَ لَهَا الْمُتَمِّمَ لِأَرْكَانِهَا وَشُرُوتِهَا وَخُشُوعِهَا يَسْتَنِيرُ قَلْبُهُ وَيَتَطَهَّرُ فُعَادُهُ وَيَزْدَادُ إِيمَانُهُ وَتَقْوَى رَغْبَتُهُ فِي الْخَيْرِ وَتَقِلُّ وَتَعْدَمُ رَغْبَتُهُ فِي الشَّرِّ فَبِالضَّرُورَةِ مُدَاوَمَتُهَا وَالْمُحَافَظَةَ عَلَيْهَا عَلَى هَذَا الْوَجْهِ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. To the end of what the Shaykh says, he said that indeed the abd who establishes this salat, yani iqamat as-salat, with all that it requires, including the completion and the perfection of its arkan, the pillars of the prayer, and its shurut, the conditions for the validity of the prayer, and the khushu', yani that when a person is engaged in the prayer, it's not just speech that we're saying or movements that we're doing, rather that the person's heart and mind is present with khushu'. The person who completes and perfects this and establishes the prayer, then his qalb, meaning his mind, his soul, his spirit, his core being will be enlightened. Yani light will shine upon his whole being. And his heart will become purified and his iman will be increased. If a person performs this salat like this, yani with its arkan and its shurut and its khushu' and so on, then that person's being will be enlightened with light, and their heart will be purified, and their iman will be increased, and their desire for khair will be strengthened, and their desire for evil will be yani decreased, or it will become non-existent. And out of necessity then, if a person is constant in performing the salat, and al-muhafadha alayha, guarding the salat the way it's supposed to be, ala hadha al-wajh, in this way, definitely this will be a means of prohibiting a person from indecency and evil. Naam. Establishing the salat with what it requires of us, especially the khushu' and the niyyah khalisa and the sunan of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the words, yani consciousness in every movement and every speech from the beginning of the salat to the end of it, realizing that we're standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the means yani that will help a person to be improved in their character and their behavior and their manners and their dealing with the people in the society. If a person what is constantly engaged in this prayer in this manner, guarding and protecting it, and the Shaykh says, وَهَذَا مِنْ أَعْظَمْ مَقَاصِدِهَا وَثَمَرَاتِهَا, and this is from the greatest of the objectives of the salat and the fruits of the salat. Yani what? That it prevents a person from evil and indecency. This is from the greatest objectives of the salat and from its greatest fruits. وَثَمَّ فِي الصَّلَاةِ مَقْصُودُ أَعْظَمْ مِنْ هَذَا وَأَكْبَرُ. And then there's also in this salat another objective which is greater and more magnificent than this, than the fact that it prevents the person from evil and indecency. وَهُوَ مَشْتَمَلَتْ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ بِالْقَلْبِ وَاللِّسَانِ وَالْبَدْنِ. And that is what it contains, yani what the salat contains, of the remembrance of Allah in the heart and on the tongue and on the limbs of the body. Yani when a person is engaged in salat, there's speech, there's heart, yani there's intention, there's khushu', there's words that are said, there are actions that are done, and all of this yani is intended for the remembrance of Allah. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى إِنَّمَا خَلَقَ الْخَلْقَ وَالْعِبَادَ لِعِبَادَتِهِ. Indeed, Allah the Most High has created the creation for one reason and one reason only, and that is for the worship of Him. وَأَفْضَلْ عِبَادَةٍ تَقَعَ مِنْهُمَ السَّلَاةِ. And the best of all acts of worship that occurs from the human being is the salat. وَفِيهَا مِنْ عُبُودِيَّاتِ الْجَوَارِ كُلِّهَا مَا لَيْسَ فِي غَيْرِهَا. And in the salat, there's acts of worship for all of the limbs of the body, such that you don't find in any other act of worship. And for this reason, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ يعني, and the remembrance of Allah is the greatest. Yani the remembrance of Allah that is contained in the salat, whether it is on the tongue or in the heart or on the limbs, this remembrance of Allah, this objective is greater than the objective of preventing a person from evil and indecency. This is greater than that. Because why? Because the remembrance of Allah is the very purpose for which the human being has been created. And then the Shaykh says, Yani, and it is also possible, as the majority of the scholars of tafsir said, that perhaps when Allah commanded us with salat, and He praised the salat, and He informed us that the remembrance of Him outside of the salat is greater than the salat itself, and it is the opinion of the majority, but the Shaykh says, وَلَكِنْ الْأَوَّلْ, the first meaning, أَوْلَى, is more right and more befitting and more correct, and that is because the salat, لِأَنَّ الصَّلَاةِ أَفْضَلُ مِنَ الذِّكْرَ خَارِجُهَا وَلِأَنَّهَا, يعني الصلاة كما تقدم بنفسها من أكبر الذكرى. And that is because the salat is the best, is better than the dhikr outside of the salat, the salat itself. And that is because the salat in and of itself is the greatest dhikr. Yani because there's dhikr of the heart and dhikr of the tongue and dhikr of the limbs of the body. And then the Shaykh closes the end of this ayat after the adhan. I just want to remind myself first and each of us that our topic for the past weeks has been, first, as we mentioned earlier, the importance of the Qur'an itself. That Allah has revealed this Qur'an for the guidance of humanity and for the improvement and perfection of the human being in this life and their success in this world and the next. And the Prophet ﷺ was the model, the example, the exemplification of that Qur'an in real life. And this ayat reminds us of the importance of the book, yani the Qur'an, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us, أُتْلُوا مَا أُوْهِيَ إِلَيْكَ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ, yani follow that which has been revealed to you of the book. Live it in your lives. Allah commanded us in this ayat. And then He singled out one of the acts that we have been commanded within the Qur'an, and that is salat, because of its importance, because of its yani high station, nobility, its status, its excellence over other acts, and that is the salat. And in this salat, there's a great benefit, and that is that it prevents a person from indecency and evil, and that's important. Yani because if we worship Allah, and we show respect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the deen of Allah, and the law of Allah, then this will help us yani in our dealings in the society, in our family, at home, at our workplace, at school, wherever we are, will help us to be better people. Yani our character, we will have good character in our dealing with the people. We will not be engaged in indecencies and evil. We will not be like the people who claim to be religious and the Catholic Church is paying millions and millions and millions of dollars to people who were sexually abused, children who were sexually abused by priests. But rather, we will be people, if we are worshiping Allah, it will help us to prevent us from indecencies like this, these horrible, evil, lewd acts. It will prevent us from sin and corruption and disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if we are worshiping Allah the way He deserves to be worshipped. And the greatest example of that is the salat. And this is a reminder to us of giving importance to our salat. And I would refer us back to the book by the Sheikh Abdul Razak, Ta'azim al-Salat, that we studied a couple of years back. And in it he brought so many examples of the importance of salat. And tonight, inshallah, this is just a reminder to us of the importance of the salat. Give care, that we should give care to our salat. Yani when we come to the prayer, yani we should be conscious and aware that we are standing in front of Allah, the Lord of the worlds. That we are in communion with Allah, the Lord of the worlds. And before we enter the prayer, we should have sincere intention to perform that prayer for Him alone. And when we say Allahu Akbar, we should realize that the meaning of this Allahu Akbar, it is the confirmation of every perfect and good quality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the negation of every defective or evil characteristic from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the singling out Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for perfection, for glorifying Him alone, singling Him out, that He is the one who deserves this alone. And giving it exclusively to Him alone. And when we enter the salat with this meaning, then a person should be conscious of every word that we say, and every position that we take in the prayer from the beginning of it until the end of it. Yani showing adab with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani showing adab with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you're standing in front of Allah. Yani we shouldn't be allowing our thoughts to roam, our eyes to be looking, to be going here and there, or that we be engaged in anything that's inappropriate or unbefitting of a person standing before the Lord of all the worlds. The adab with Allah, inshallah, will help us to have adab with the people. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala closed this ayat with the words, وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ مَا تَصْنَعُونَ. And Allah knows that what you do. The Shaykh says, مِنْ خَيْرُ وَشَرُ. Of good and of evil. Allah knows all that you do, of good and of evil. فَيُجَازِيكُمْ عَلَى ذَلِكَ أَكْمَلَ الْجَزَاءِ وَأَوْفَاهُ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, therefore, يعني فَيُجَازِيكُمْ. Since He knows all of what you do, of good and of evil, so therefore He rewards you, He recompenses you, yani in accordance with that, in the most perfect and complete way. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in another place in the Quran, وَاتَّقُوا يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَلْتَنْظُرْ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدٍ. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ. Yani observe taqwa of Allah. And let every soul look to what it sends ahead for tomorrow. Yani indeed Allah, He knows. إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. Allah knows, He is fully aware of all that you do. Allah knows all that we do, and He will compensate us, He will recompense us, He will reward or punish accordingly. It is incumbent upon us to have good character with Allah, yani to exalt Allah and to exalt His names and His sifat, and to show respect for the deen of Allah and for the sharia of Allah, and to live our lives in public and in private in accordance with what Allah has legislated, so that perhaps to some small extent our character will be the character of the Quran, to some small extent, and following behind our example. And I'll close by reminding us the saying of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. He said, حَاسِبُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ قَبْلَ أَن تُحَاسِبُوا. And a great saying from a great man radiallahu anhu. حَاسِبُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ قَبْلَ أَن تُحَاسِبُوا. Take account of yourselves before account is taken of you. There's no doubt that account is going to be taken of us. If a person takes account of their self now, it's possible to catch the shortcomings and the faults and the errors that we fell into, and to rectify them, to fix the mistakes that we made. One of our brothers, he used to sit on the wall here. What's your name, Akhi? Saifullah. Saifullah. He used to sit where Saifullah is sitting now. Abdul Azim. Sadiq Abdul Azim. May Allah have mercy upon him. So, he is not with us today. And some of us will not be here tomorrow. It is incumbent upon us to get on top of this affair, to take account of ourselves now, before account is taken of us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.